Welcome back to Central Coast Uncorked. We're happy to have you here.
Welcome back to Jamie as well.
Thank you.
Not being here last week.
I'm a little jet lagged.
Nice.
But I've survived. I'm here.
Good. Awesome.
Ready to drink some wine.
Yay. Cool. Well, this week we are sharing our podcast episode that we recorded at Kula Vineyards Winery. Well, the tasting room.
I'm pretty stoked because this place is so close to my house.
Yeah, so they are newer in downtown Atascadero. You might be able to describe it a little bit better because you live here.
Like, they're on Entrada, which is this really, like, up-and-coming little street. Like, I feel like they got in there just in time because it's a short street. It's one way. But there's all these little shops and restaurants and winery, well, apparently tasting rooms, like, popping up there. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked.
Yeah, they're like we said, they're in a really great location. I actually stumbled across the tasting room when I was down there shopping one Saturday afternoon a couple months ago. And I said to Jamie, like, we need to go in there and check them out. So we went in and stopped for a tasting, and it was a really great experience. We were greeted immediately by their two dogs, so they are dog friendly.
So they're winning there.
Yes, very cute.
And like I think it was Thursday nights, or like bring your dog in night.
Yeah,
it was Thursday or Friday. I think it was Thursday.
One of those. You guys will hear on the podcast episode though, because we talk about it. Yeah, but we had a really nice tasting experience with them. We hope that you enjoy the episode as much as we enjoyed drinking wine for your benefit. That's my new tagline. I love it. I think it's so fun.
Hashtag.
I could make it a hashtag.
I have to say too, like, I drank some of their wine this morning. I had the Picpoul Blanc
with my breakfast. Oh, that was so good.
And it was quite tasty and so reasonably priced that I felt really good about drinking it. Like,
yeah. So not only are they convenient for stopping in to taste, but it's also convenient if you want to meet up with a friend for a glass of wine after work. They are open later than, you know, most tasting rooms are. So I think they're there until 7 p.m. on weekdays, or maybe even 8. I'm so sorry. Again, I can't remember quite the hours, but it was later than normal. So perfect place to stop in after work on a weeknight or on a weekend. Go in and hang out with friends.
Yeah.
So thank you to Kula for hosting us. We hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Have a good one.
When we bought it, it had Syrah and Roussanne, but we've changed it all since then. So we've got Cabernet Franc, Petite Syrah, and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, nice.
We don't have any wines from those yet because, you know, it takes time. But we've got all of those and we'll be making wines. Actually, we made some this fall and we'll be making them in the future.
Very cool.
So we started making wine in 2016. Again, in the beginning, we were just a grape grower. Mm-hmm. We sold the grapes to other wineries, primarily Midnight Cellars. Mm-hmm. And so we got great feedback from them. They got some high scores on a number of wines that they made with those grapes and some others that they made. So
you're like, why don't we do it then?
Exactly.
So this can't be too hard, right? So a little of irony there. So we decided to start making our own wines in 2016. So on the menu today, we've got three whites, a Syrah Rosé, and three reds. We only have one of, two of the original vintage. We've got a Estate Syrah at the bottom and a 2016 Pinot Noir, which are about sold out.
Oh.
Then we'll be, you know, actually we have a reserve Syrah 2016 coming up, but mostly we're pouring 2017s and we'll be bottling some 2018s this coming year.
Okay.
Yeah. Kula is the Hawaiian word for gold or golden.
Oh, okay.
So these are golden retrievers.
Yeah.
The dog that we lost last year, well, actually we lost two last year, but one of those is also a golden retriever. So the Kula in the name comes from, number one, we used to live in Hawaii. And we brought a golden retriever with us from Hawaii.
Perfect.
And in fact, that we just love golden retrievers. So
how long have you guys been here?
Since August.
Since August, okay.
We opened August 8th. And, as I was saying in the story, we've been making wine since 2016 and pouring it like the local hotels, like La Quinta,
Anthony,
La Bella Sera, you know, they do those wine tasting events. So we would go in there and, you know, pour the wine. I always told my wife that's how we got the idea, like, how to sell, how to introduce wine, you know, how to interact with customers and so forth. So it was a very good experience for us. But we always wanted to have our own wine tasting room, of course. And so we're so thrilled when we go open here in August. Three whites. We have the Grenache Blanc, the Viognier, and the Picpoul Blanc. So Grenache Blanc and Picpoul Blanc both got gold medals at the Central Coast Wine Competition right there. And then the Viognier got 91 points. So all of those grapes came from basically our neighbor vineyard right next door to us. So they're all East Templeton. Mm-hmm. They all did really, really well in competitions. And I think when you try them, you'll enjoy them as well.
Yeah.
So should we just do the whole menu? Or did you?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
So when he's pouring, this is our newsletter. He talks about the tasting room. Yeah, that was Makana when he was still puppy. And then it talks about our vineyard too. So if you like.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. So are you guys making the wine yourselves, or do you have a winemaker you're working with?
We have a winemaker we're working with. So as I mentioned in the beginning, we started selling our grapes to midnight sellers. Mm-hmm. And then when we decided that we wanted to make our own, they have a program where they bring in winemakers there and lease out their space.
Oh, nice.
So we're basically doing that. We work in the winery, my wife and I both, and of course, you know, working on the vineyard, we work there as well. But we've got so many different things going on, so we're glad that we've got support from Midnight Cellars to sort of watch over things when we can't be
there.
But like, you know, I truck the grapes over myself from the vineyard, and then my wife and I do all the hand sorting. So all the grapes, are hand-picked.
Yeah.
That is a beast to tackle.
They're all hand-sorted in the winery, so that means, you know, not only do the pickers sort of make a choice about what they pick and not pick in the vineyard, but when we get in, we throw out a bunch of grapes that aren't consistently good.
Great.
I love this wine and dogs. Is that every Thursday?
Every Thursday.
Mm-hmm. You have to bring Thursday.
I know. I've got a little.
Yeah, last weekend. Last Thursday, we had 9-week-old puppy to 16-year-old gentleman.
That's awesome. I love that. I'll have to come with my dog.
Yeah, bring your dogs.
Yeah, so people just bring the dogs. They just relax out there.
And talk about dogs.
We actually have people who don't have dogs. We just want to
pet them. Yeah, that's what people do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, get to know each other too.
So this is your Grenache Blanc, right?
Yes.
This is the Grenache Blanc. It's 89% Grenache Blanc and then 11% Picpoul Blanc.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's easy drinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very, you know, Grenache Blanc is all about the green fruit richness. So green apple, Asian pears are things you should be picking up out of here. But just a nice light white. We didn't have any when we had lunch, but we always have this as a perfect way to start a Sunday.
A little
baguette sandwich from Back Porch Bakery. Yeah. Right, it matches so well with the Grenache Blanc because you usually put some light meats, some brie on the sandwich.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. Great picnic wine is what I'm hearing.
Definitely. You know, like a Templeton has the concert summertime.
Yes.
We used to bring this bottle to the Grenache Blanc and then open there because it's so easy.
The screw top is nice.
Yeah. So we open it with the picnic food. That was nice.
But we're open Thursday through Saturday 3 to 8, then Sunday 12 to 5. And so I just drive up here and I work in the evenings when she's here. But in the evenings, we're all together, and then on the weekends, we're all together.
Me and the dogs are always here.
Well, it's nice that you guys are open. So you said to 8 p.m. on
yes.
the...
8 p.m.
Exactly.
Yes.
3 to 8 p.m.
That's good to know.
People can come after
that's really good to know.
Work, after dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
They're walking around.
Actually, people come here with the dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can take
with the lunch.
Yeah, and we also have the outside area as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a little chilly now, but in the summer, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's cooling down.
That's perfect.
Just a little bit. Thank you.
This is 94% Viognier, 6% Picpoul Blanc. As you can tell, we went Picpoul Blanc crazy, in 2017. Mm-hmm. I think with good reason. Picpoul just adds a nice acidity, as a base to a bunch of different blending wines. And that's primarily how it's used in France.
So far, what is your favorite grape or wine to work with or that comes out of the vineyard?
It's wrong for me to pick favorites. But you'll be tasting the Syrah later, the 2016 Syrah. 2016 was an excellent year. After we bought the vineyard, it needed a couple years of rehabilitation. So by 2016, it was really getting to be at a really good point. Got a great crop out of the 2016, and you'll find that it's tasting wonderful. And we've got, as I was mentioning, we have a 2016 that's been in the barrel ever since we made it. And we'll be bottling that as a reserve Syrah early in 2020, so in January.
Cool.
Is everything okay? So, yeah. So, initially we were doing very small quantities. I mean, as a winery, we're still very small.
Mm-hmm.
This year we did make 500 cases, but you know, we're not selling that level. That's just to lay in the stock because a lot of that was reds and it'll take a couple years for it to come down. So by that point, hopefully we're a bigger winery and that's going to be the low level meat. But like the Grenache Blanc that you had was 75 cases. The Viognier is 50 cases. The Picpoul is 25. You'll see it as you get down. So, you know, a lot of these are very, very small batches because, again, we were just starting as a winery off the bat in 2016.
Yeah.
Your prices are super reasonable.
Thank you. We get told that a lot. I mean,
it's refreshing, though.
It is. It's nice to, like,
a lot of places are really getting up
going
there.
Going up, yes. Yeah, which makes it impractical.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not, like, I feel
we're
especially,
a
like,
drink every day.
Yeah, and, like, for $7 a glass, I can come here on my way home from work or something. Like, I feel like keeping it approachable, especially in this area, is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's Atascadero. You know, it's a wonderful town, but they're not spending $18 or $20 on a glass of wine.
Not yet. Not yet. Hopefully one day.
Well, we have someone coming here for looking for that. Oh, I need a tonight dinner.
Right.
For something red, something like that. So.
And especially this time of year, people are like, oh, I'm going to like a holiday dinner, I need to bring a bottle of wine, I don't drink wine, what do I take? Yeah.
Right, so, and the local chef comes here too.
Yeah, we have a local chef who brings in desserts as well. This is the
Picpoul Blanc. It smells delicious.
So 2017.
We're going to open those, right?
Yeah. I'm going to decant the two reds, I mean the bigger reds.
Ooh, that's nice. Ooh, I want this like all day on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
So Picpoul Blanc is relatively uncommon in Paso Robles.
Yeah,
there
it
are
is.
A number of wineries have it. Cobbles Creek, Halter Ranch, Four Lanterns are the ones I've heard of.
Doesn't,
a couple of others have blended, but those are the only ones, including us, that have 100%.
Yeah.
Just because those grapes are so tough to get a hold of. I just
had
to beg my neighbor for whatever. And this year I only got enough to make, if we don't blend it at all, so everything is 100%, like Grenache Blanc, 100%, I can only make 25 cases of Picpoul, which is probably what we'll do, because it's a very popular wine.
It's delicious.
A lot of people have never tried it. They come in and say, what is that? I haven't heard. But when they hear the story and they taste it, it's like, well, I want to drink this all day on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then I want to buy it for my next dinner party so I can, you know, experience something new with my guests.
Well, it's so, I love that it's so fresh. Like, I think a lot of times people think, like, oh, if you're serving white wine, you're probably like serving a Chardonnay. It's a little heavier. And this is like so nice and easy drinking and would pair nicely with a lot of different foods.
It does.
It'd go great with my eggs in the morning.
I like your drink. So in French, the Picpoul loosely translates to lipstick. It's more acidic. In California, the fruit moderates a little bit more to the forward because that's what California does. But it is more acidic. I get like baked lemonish, you know, sort of notes in this. So a little citrus notes.
Yeah, no, that's delicious.
Are you familiar with the Picpoul Blanc?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you familiar with the Picpoul Blanc?
Yeah, actually, that's was it,
I think,
you know which one I'm talking about?
Pays-sur-Terre. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Oh, right.
I think they also have a Picpoul Blanc.
Yeah.
But I think they source theirs from Tablas Creek.
They definitely do.
I don't know.
So I have had it, and I've always been a fan of it. I will say, like, I'm trying to remember how much I liked it before, and I think this might be the most that I've enjoyed it, as far as just like wanting to keep drinking it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it doesn't need anything. It doesn't need food. Right now I don't need anything to go with it other than like my pajamas and my dog and my couch.
So this,
that's very
this,
nice.
This is gold medal, as I mentioned, at the Central Coast Wine Competition. So it's a really terrific wine. I just wish we had more of it. We'll have more, than, you know, in the spring. But when we opened back in August, right, the weather was a lot hotter then. This was our top seller.
I believe it. Yeah.
Which surprised the heck out of me because, as I said, it's a relatively uncommon wine. A lot of people hadn't heard about it. That's why it's not more widely made, I think, among winemakers. You make it, a lot of winemakers enjoy it, but if you put it on the shelf at Barnes...
What is it?
Exactly.
Will someone be brave enough to pick it off the shelf if they've never heard of it before?
I feel like now that I live over here... So I've only lived over here for a couple years, and it's like, I'm not used to this heat. I actively seek out... good white wine that's easy drinking for when it's hot.
Especially
for the pool.
What are you thinking on the wine so far?
I think I've sincerely liked everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pig pool is probably my favorite though.
That's so nice.
Yeah, I think you guys are a great addition to, like, down here, the downtown area.
Aw, thank you.
There's a lot of beer places now, but
yes.
Not
especially,
so many wine.
Like I said before, like, with an approachable price point, like, it's way easier to talk my husband into letting me go when it's not super expensive.
Yeah, and then also, Thursday, we have Bawa Thursday.
Yeah, I love that.
And then Friday, we actually have Aloha Friday special. We used to live in a Hawaii Kula. The name of Kula came from Hawaii. Kula means gold or golden in the Hawaiian language.
Okay.
We brought the golden retriever Kona, the left one, in front, from Hawaii to mainland. So that's how we named the winery Kula. So we're kind of associated with Hawaii.
Yeah.
So we have an Aloha Friday special. That means we have some kind of wine, $5 a glass.
That's
awesome. That's really reasonable.
Every Friday. And then Saturday, Sunday, we have a dessert weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So in October, we had a crème brûlée. And in November we had a cheesecake. This month we have truffles and everything at handmade.
It's all made by a local chef.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what wines, like, do you have specific wines that you recommend with the truffles or a specific wine?
When people ask the recommendation for this, we normally say Pinot Noir or Zinfandel.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, for sure. It really depends on what kind of dessert we have. So,
so just mentioning the rosé, a little bit bigger of a rosé than others that you might have tasted.
Mm-hmm.
It's 9% Syrah, so Syrah just tends to be a little bit heftier, a little bit more body, mouthfeel, and so forth. I particularly love it. I think the color is beautiful.
I love the color.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So. I like that it has like a little more orange to it than
that's
some rosés, like a little less pinky.
Yeah, a little burnt orange to it.
Ready for Pinot Noir?
Yes.
Okay, so this is 2016 Pinot Noir 100%. The grapes came from Monterey County.
So how do you guys find other vineyards to source from? Is it like, you know, being relatively new to the area, did you just go up and start tasting in the area and find someone you liked?
That would have been ideal.
Would you like it?
Yeah, thank you, just a little bit. I think that's probably the right approach. Because we were small and, you know, didn't have the resources to do that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We just got this from a broker.
Okay.
So.
That's why I have a business.
Exactly. So the wine comes in from a really great region. The San Lucia Highlands is well known for Pinot, and we just think it's an awesome Pinot. This is unfiltered, so it's got a little bit more mouthfeel, a little bit more of a fruit notes to it.
Why did you choose to do unfiltered?
Well,
she has this story, and I think it's a good story.
All right. other red right now is Zinfandel and then Syrah. And then those grapes came from Templeton, El Palma district, which is the east side. Yeah. We have great sunlight there, and it's always a heavier side.
Yeah.
So we wanted to have a little heavier Pinot Noir, so it's a good lineup compared with the others. So
not
too much contrast, like light, and then like transition.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Reds, yeah.
We have a Syrah Rosé. The Rosé is made of Syrah grapes. It's a little heavier side. So that's our lineup right now.
Yeah.
The first time we made a Syrah Rosé in 2016, as I mentioned, we did 12 hours of skin contact time on those grapes, and didn't know. We just did some research and we said, well, 12 hours probably is the what we should go with. But it was so dark, so big as a rosé. It approximated this, really. It was almost as dark as this.
Maybe a little lighter.
A little lighter.
But actually, red wine drinker really loved it.
Yeah, rosé for red wine drinkers. There's a market for that, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we sold out.
We're just trying to balance out so that each one has its own particular style. So the Syrah became a little lighter, but I think we wanted the Pinot to be a little heavier. A lot of the wineries have you seen Pinots a lot when you go out tasting? You do encounter it a lot?
I live down in Aurora Grande, I have drank a lot in Edna Valley, and that's very, very Pinot heavy, so I do love a Pinot.
Yeah, well, as I was saying, in the North County, it's not done a lot. I mean, some people, especially out if they're far on the west side where it's cooler, maybe they can grow Pinot out there, but a lot of people don't do Pinot here. But we wanted to buy the grapes, even though it's not from our vineyard or even from our little area, because customers really like Pinot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a popular wine, and we think we can put our spin on it through the winemaking, of course, just to make it our own style. And that's what we did through leaving it unfiltered.
Yeah, cool.
I like it.
It's good.
Everything is just so easy to drink. Like every one we've had, I feel like I could just sit down and enjoy a bottle of.
Yeah.
Like, it's dangerous. Because I drive right by you every day.
She's going to be stopping out.
I'm like, oh, it's not quickly.
I'm going to pull up and honk, and you run it out to me.
I hate to disappoint you, but you're going to like everything on the bottle.
I know. No.
I mean, if you liked everything so far, there's not really much you're going to find objectionable about those things, too. Because they're both really good.
This is 2017 Zinfandel 100%, and this is a new release. The grapes came from both east side and the west side of Paso area.
Okay.
East side has a nice little peppery taste, and the west side has a nice fruit taste, so we actually blended it together. It's all 100%.
Nice.
So is your goal to one day be able to have all estate wines, or do you feel like you'll always end up sourcing just to get exactly what you want?
I think just because of the variety, like right now we only grow three varieties and we're pretty much at 100% utilization of our space. So we would have to get an additional vineyard and get more acres in order to.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, it's more money, and there's always going to be something coming up that becomes hot or popular and you want to make it and you're not growing it. Like right now, I mean, we don't grow any whites, we're just growing reds. So, can I have some? So, we're always going to have some estates, like we'll have, estate Cab, we'll have estate Syrah, but we'll always, get fruit from other vineyards that we know and basically farm the same way that we do, ideally from the same location, over on the east side in Templeton.
Mm-hmm. There's some good wine out there. There's some crazy people.
Crazy people. Oh, so you've been in the winery.
So, it's hard to find, and I think that's why I'm so stoked with your guys' price point, because it's so hard to find wine that tastes good, that you want to drink, but that isn't crazy expensive, that I love finding a bottle for 30 or under that I can open by myself when Kurt's
doesn't want wine or is out of town or whatever, right. And I don't feel like, oh God, it's so expensive, I have to drink it, or it needs this huge meal. Like, I just want a glass of wine sometimes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's really hard to find wine that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm stoked.
Yeah.
2016 State Syrah was, State
Syrah.
No,
it's not very excited. Syrah being one of my favorites.
Let's see what you think.
Smells good.
Good. Good start.
I love the pepperiness in Syrah. I think that's what mm-hmm. always draws me.
Right.
That's Kurt, too.
Yeah.
Kurt loves a Syrah. I only really buy it for him. Yeah. I like it. I don't dislike it, but it's... I think it's typically, like, I want food with it, and then I like wine that doesn't need food. I just want to drink my wine.
That's interesting, because I typically find, like, with Grenache, I want to have food with Grenache.
Oh, I could just... Give me a straw and leave me alone.
Straw!
I'm good.
And I think the reason I love Syrah, especially this time of year, is because
exactly.
It does have the peppery and the smoky, and it makes
it
me
is
feel
cozy.
Cozy.
That's exactly yeah. right.
Like, yeah. you want yeah. a fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe
so
some slippers. Mm-hmm. I just want some, like, something.
It's been a while since... I've tasted the entire menu. It's written from top to bottom, like we're doing here. Mm. You can taste a lot of differences in the Syrah versus, especially the Zinfandel that came right before this. This one has a lot more tannic,
of course.
And like you said, it definitely has the peppery aspect, so that's for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, we added some oak on this one where the 2017 Zinfandel was no oak. It was just, it was fermented. We always ferment in neutral French oak barrels, so you're going to get a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah.
But in the Syrah, you use those same neutral French oak barrels, but then added some staves, on the inside. Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about your wine club.
Mm-hmm. Great question. Mayako?
Me? So we have three different wine clubs. The first one is a three bottle, we call it a classic wine club. We ship twice a year, spring and fall. The first one, the three bottles, 15% off, and then you can see others. And then we have a premium wine club, that's the six bottle wine, 20% off. The Ohana, which means family in the Hawaiian language.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, so they get the 25% off. They all get the twice a year shipment, and then the last one was in November.
Yeah, so we're shipping again in early April, something before Easter probably. So, and the other aspect of that club, we have check boxes there if you want red only or white only.
Okay, I was going to ask about customizable.
Yeah, but what we do for all of our guests, our members, is that we send out the email about what's going to be in the shipment for their level, and if they want to substitute just for their own personal choices, they're completely free to do that. So
that's nice. Really, that's really nice. Yeah.
Open club where they can get anything that we currently have on the menu at the time, not just what's in the shipment.
Yeah,
nice.
So that's awesome.
If people say, hey, well, we had one person in the three bottle club who just I want. Three balls of Syrah.
So, yes.
You're all okay.
We sent them three balls.
So how often do you guys change the tasting menu, if at all?
That's a great question as well. So that's been the tasting menu since with the one exception, we substituted the 2017 Zinfandel for the 2016, which sold out a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But the wines themselves were the same. We're going to be bottling some new wines in late January. They'll probably be on the menu. They'll be on the tasting menu probably in February.
Okay.
There's going to be a Bordeaux blend, which is a cab forward blend, 8% cab, 15% Merlot.
Heavier wine.
Yeah, and then Petit Verdot. And then our Estate Syrah Reserve, which has been in the barrel since 2016. Mm-hmm. So those will be two new items on the menu, and then we're always at risk of selling off. I mean, we'll probably sell out of the Picpoul Blanc fairly soon, the Estate Syrah, the regular Syrah. We're down to six cases or less of that, so that'll be off until we'll have the Estate Syrah. Then we have a 2018 Syrah that will be coming out maybe in June. So that kind of substitution happens all the time.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, yeah. Is there anything else that like you want people to know about you, or
I'm assuming you guys are dog friendly?
Yes, since your dog night, we love that. Yeah. Love that.
So we have this special Bow Wow Thursday where mm-hmm. we just encourage people to bring dogs, but really dogs are welcome anytime.
Yeah, anytime.
So you can see today's pretty chill here. Mm-hmm. You know, haven't had any other guests, so we'd love to have people or dogs come in. Mm-hmm. We also have an outdoor patio. Maybe right now is not the ideal patio weather, but we have an outdoor patio where we can serve wine and then people can enjoy it.
So when we had events like 2 days ago, Atascadero had the winter wonderland.
Yeah.
So city blocked the street and then they made the snow slide for kids and then kids' train was here. So anyone, the customers can use the patio right there. So watch the kids, train, and go by.
Yeah, sounds like my kind of day.
And then dancing in the street, the stage is right there.
Yeah.
So people can sit there.
Yeah, no, you guys, this is a great spot.
Yeah. So our patio is very, very good. Excuse me, for the club member loves it, and then the other customer loves it, and the dog friendly is good too.
But other than that, you know, we... just really happy to be here in Atascadero.
People here are so good, so friendly.
Very supportive.
Yeah, yeah. City too.
Yeah, city as well.
City, Chamba.
We've been able to add to our wine club member list, and so we should have our biggest shipment ever this fall.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, and you know, as a new winery, that's all that is very important to us.
Yeah.
Because we're competing against some very big guys.
Yeah.
So we're really happy when we get that support.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys members of any of the wine alliances
or
anything?
Okay. Wine alliances. So, well, that's it. I've been a member of this since we moved to town, Independent Grape Growers of Paso Robles Associate, IGPRA.
Yeah,
and he's a board member.
They're grower focused, so they're not really, they have winery members, so we're a winery member. But I'm also on the board of IGPRA now. Have been for the past 2 years.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to join Paso Wine Alliance, so we can be on their website. That's the winery focused thing as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Do you have any other questions, James?
I don't think so. I think I need to take some
pictures. That's what I do.
Listening to this episode of Central Coast Uncorked, we hope that you enjoyed hearing the tasting experience from our point of view.
If you did enjoy the episode, please rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platform, and maybe even share it with a friend. Connect with us on social media because we will be posting places that we're headed and that we're recording at, so you'll get some inside tips that we don't release in the podcast, and you can also let us know where you think we should go.
We'll see you guys next week for another new episode.
Bye.
Bye.